Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be back. I'm Pastor Micah. We are well on our way into this Lenten rotation, so it's good to see you all. And tonight we're going to be talking about submission in our prayers. And ultimately, we're talking about God's will. So in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. That's kind of what we're focusing on tonight. As we begin, I don't have any announcements. Is there anything that needs to be said before we start the service?
My mom had surgery yesterday. It didn't look really good. Her knee surgery.
What's her name?
Marilyn Chalmers.
Marilyn. All right. So she had knee surgery?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll.
She came home at 1:30 this afternoon.
We'll pray for Marilyn's recovery then. All right. Very good. All right, as we begin, we'll start off with prayer and then a reading of Scripture. Let's pray as we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your church that we gathered together to hear your holy word. Encourage us in light of that. Help us to trust in you more and more during this season of Lent as we prepare for your death and resurrection as we celebrate it in the church. We thank you what that won for us. It won for us forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a hope in the present. Strengthen us in that. Strengthen us tonight with your word. Help us to respond in praise. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. For our call to worship today, a reading from Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And now we'll sing our opening hymn, hymn number 81, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary.
Refuge of the weary, unshaken of the spirit's love.
We continue with our confession of sin. It can be found on page 49, number 12. I think it's also on your screen. Let us confess together. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to seek your forgiveness of our sins. We have sinned by disobedience and omission, with pride and selfishness, with disrespect and unrighteous living. For these we
are truly sorry, and seek your mercy and grace. Cleanse us according to your word.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If this be your sincere confession, and with penitent hearts you earnestly desire the forgiveness of your sins, for the sake of Jesus Christ, God, according to his promise, forgives you of all of your sins. By the authority of God's word and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that God, through his grace, has forgiven you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we have the privilege. We're not alone as Christians. We confess the creeds partially to remind ourselves we're united with Christians all around the world. We say the summary of our Christian beliefs through these creeds. And so together we will confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus
Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our next hymn, hymn number 518, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Thank you.
invite you to rise for the reading of today's sermon text. And this comes from Luke, Gospel of Luke. This is the 22nd chapter. I'll be reading verses 39 to 46. This is when Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and they fall asleep before his arrest. Reading in our Lord's name. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Here ends the text for tonight. Please pray with me before we begin. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Your word is truth. Strengthen us, sanctify us by the hearing of your word. Give us hearts of encouragement after we have heard this, Lord, knowing that you are there for us, that you suffered all these things for our sake, and that doing your will is good. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you may be seated. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics of Jesus loves me. Whenever we talk about words like submission in the Bible, first and foremost, it's talking about submission to God. And submission is entrusting yourself to another. So when we sing Jesus loves me, there is that admission of that. There is the statement, we are weak, he is strong. The word submission today might come with a lot of cultural baggage. Perhaps a better understanding in our minds today is subordination. Think rank and order. The military or government cannot run unless there is proper subordination within its rank. And for the Christian, the same goes for our families and for the church. But first and foremost, in order for that to work, you know, subordination in the family, order in the family and in the church, we all must submit to God's will. We are weak, he is strong. Right? So even in the family, right, we're all weak. In the church, we're all weak. God is the one we submit to at the end of the day. He has a plan for us, and that's our hope. He has salvation. And to accomplish this, he went the way of the cross, which was a way of agony and suffering. Christ told his disciples, if they're going to follow him, they too must carry their own crosses. That is, they too must bear the sufferings of this world while following him. Yet, in this scene, in the Mount of Olives, Christ's disciples give in to temptation to flee, and that's after the arrest. They dropped their crosses at the first sign of danger. They were no longer in submission to God. They put themselves first in that situation. But the good news in this whole account is Christ did not give in to temptation. He stayed the course to the cross, all because it was the will of God, and it was for your restoration. Here we are today. We're still carrying our crosses, our own suffering, and that's all in this room. We all have our own unique way to suffer. But we have suffered things, yet was without him. And for tonight, we're going to be talking posture, because we're practicing prayer. The overall theme for Lent is praying, and we're going to be talking about posture in two different ways. But first of all, there's a posture of repentance, of submission, I should say, and a posture of faith. But that is all under repentance, what it means for us to repent. And Jesus is a good model for how to pray this way. Jesus had no need to repent, though. He had no sin. But he did go before the Father and submitted to his will. And he stuck to the plan. And that's what we're going to do tonight. When we pray afterwards, we're going to pray. We're going to confess sins to God and privately. And then whoever you're with is going to pray for you that you would stick to the plan. That is the plan of salvation, that your faith would be strengthened. So really, it's a blessing for someone else. So that's kind of the unique spin on it this week. Christ submitted to God's will, and we follow his pattern. The will of God for Christ was to die for the sins of the world, and we submit to the Father's will so that we would receive it. Right? So that's the difference. We are weak. He is strong. So first of all, repentance in general, as I mentioned, repentance is a posturing of the heart. A simple definition of repentance is turning from sin and turning towards God. And so you see in your mind there's a picture of pivoting, turning around, right? I recently preached on Lamentations a few weeks ago. It's my favorite book of the Bible. I got this opportunity to travel and be a guest preacher and preach on this book of Lamentations. And if you want to read a book about suffering, that's not Job, right? Job is the go-to. But Lamentations is another one you can check out. But it includes a wonderful promise of God's faithfulness in the midst of suffering. If you don't know the story of Lamentations, it's the fall of Jerusalem. And there's a poem written about the lament of that. An outpouring of Jeremiah's sorrow. So it's wonderfully written, organized in a special way too. But the middle of the book is the emphasis. It's kind of like a mountain where the peak in the middle of the book is the emphasis. And that's where we get "Great is thy faithfulness," that hymn from. So in the midst of all this suffering of war that came along, there's this wonderful passage of God's lasting love. And Jeremiah admits that God sent this suffering upon the people. But he knows that's temporary. But he knows the love of God is forever. And so that's what chapter 3 is about. So I'm going to read portions of that. But part of the way he laments is a posturing. Like he brings in that imagery of posture into repentance. And so I'll read that for you. This is from chapter 3. This is 19 and following. He says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings." He's praying to God. "Remember my affliction and my wanderings. The wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." So he's hurting and he's bowed down in his heart before God. It's a posture of submission to God. Even God did this to him. He did this to the people of Israel. And what can he do but bow down before God at the end of the day? He's weak. But then he continues in verse 21. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So there's this posture of bowing down. He even, I'll read later on it says, let him put his face in the dust, right? So there's this posturing down, but then there's the hope, where he's rising up and clinging to the promises of God. In our prayers, this is what we do to God. Whenever we confess our sins or are going through suffering, we admit that we're weak, right? We need God. And so we assume this inner posture of our hearts. And that's a posture of submission. Submission is an important aspect of repentance that's necessary for us. In today's text that I read with Christ on the Mount of Olives, he's kneeling. He's kneeling before God. And usually Jewish people would stand for their prayers, but he's kneeling for his prayers. This is a posture of submission that Christ is doing on the mountain. An outward posture is important, and we do that whenever we bow our heads, we fold our hands. Sometimes we kneel, if you've been at services that kneel. There's all sorts of different traditions around the world to have this posture of submitting to God's will. But the important part is what's in the heart. Right? We're to assume this posture within our very souls. But we're not always in this posture. right? And that's what we try to do. We try to do our wills instead of God's, and that's what we need to all repent of. And that's what we need to take a lesson from in this text. We're all tempted to flee from God's will, just like the disciples eventually did. And in this text, they were not submitting to God's will. They were told to stay awake and be with their Lord while he prayed. But in verse 45, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Right? They were upset just like Jesus was, but they didn't stay up with him. They didn't suffer with him. They fell asleep. They were sleeping on the job. And their job was to suffer with Christ. But they took a break. To fall into temptation in this text means to leave Christ as his disciple, not listening to him, not submitting to his will. Temptations for us increase when we are suffering, right? When the temperature gets too hot, sometimes we give up. When our hearts are restless, we are tempted to fall asleep, to find relief in a way that does not honor God by going to him in repentance. So this is a time to examine yourself. I said we all deal with our own sufferings, our own unique ways. There's also ways we react to that. What do we turn to in our lives during the bad times? Do we drink the pain away? Do we escape in a world of entertainment? The older you get, the more you are tempted to fall asleep in nostalgia, to forget what's happening now, to remember the good old days at the expense of who's in front of you. That could be something. In each of these cases, submission to God's will is often neglected. We should be fleeing to God first whenever bad times come, because he's actually the answer to what we fear in life. And some of these comforts that I mentioned, they're redeemable, but only when viewed through the lens of God's will. So there's a purpose for feasting, right? For a proper use of food and drink. There's a proper use of entertainment, right? To help you be refreshed for work or school or whatever. And there's a proper time in remembering the good times. But these are all poor substitutes to save you out of this world of suffering. Christ is the key to ending the afflictions we face, and that's who we turn to first. God's will was to send him to the cross to do that. But as when we examine what Christ was doing in this text, he was there to give them a lesson before he departed with them. He says this to them while they were sleeping: "Rise and pray so that you may not enter into temptation." Rise and pray. That's a pattern that Christ is giving to us to follow when we live in this world. And by rise, that is, don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Know who you are. Know who your God is and what he's done for you. The devil wants nothing else than for you to doze off, let your guard down a little, sleep on the job. Anything to turn you away from submitting to God. Staying awake means being in the Word. The disciples were meant to be awake so they could be with the Word incarnate, but they gave in to sleep. The easiest way to give in to temptation of disbelief is to separate yourself from the source. Right, so we stay in the Word. Praying means going before God and asking him for help. The disciples were going to face hardships for the sake of Christ, and we, like them, need help to endure the sufferings that are on the way for us. We need help clinging to God's promises and help to turn away from any other comfort. Jesus was also tempted. He was tempted to turn back on the Word of God, but he didn't. So a similar passage in your Bibles to this account is when he's being tempted in the desert by Satan. And this was the Lord's will. The Spirit sent him out into the desert, right? God wanted this fight to happen in the desert, a battle over words. The devil tried to make our Lord go back on his word, to take the easy path, to escape the suffering, to use his power to take care of his own needs. But Christ stood firm. He put your needs first. He humbled himself to be like you, to die like one of us. And his power was saved for your eternal benefit. The temptation here on the Mount of Olives is no different. Our Lord felt the suffering of dread to the point of sweating blood. He did not want to suffer what was to come. But it was the will of God for him to endure it. When Jesus prays, he's honest about his suffering. He's crying out to God, and we can do the same thing. When we, in our prayers, we cry out to God, call out to him, just like the book of Lamentations, right? The Son of God cried out to his Father, knowing what was going to happen to him, the suffering. But he knew the Father had a plan, and he submitted to that plan. And so in our prayers, going through our forms of prayers, which we're going to use later tonight, in our prayers, we first form the form of submission. And submitting to God, what does that include? It includes endurance, the endurance of suffering. As Christ suffered, so do we as his followers. If you read Philippians, St. Paul describes being enticed by his own pride of knowledge. He was a very smart man. But he admits that these are poor substitutes for salvation. And he longs to join Christ even at the expense of suffering throughout life. And we pray that we would continue to submit to God's will no matter how tough things get in life, because Christ is better. Better than anything else this world can offer. So no matter what you are worried about, no matter what you are dealing with, God is in control, and his plan for you is your salvation. That's the goal. That's the plan. God sent Christ to the cross. That was the plan, and that's the same plan for you to believe that. So in our prayers, we submit, but then we move on to the form, the posture of faith, to cling to that promise of deliverance from this world. So as Christ rose from the dead, so will you someday. Freed of all suffering, sin, and the devil's work. As Jesus came and helped the sleeping disciples, so does the word of Christ help us to stay diligent and awake today. And our faith needs to be strengthened. We admit, especially as Lutherans, we believe that our help comes from outside of us. Salvation comes totally outside of us. It's God that enters into us, cleanses us from sin, helps us believe in him, gives us the courage to continue in that faith. And so God gives us one another, right? We're all here tonight to encourage each other with that promise, right? So there's a plan. There's a plan of salvation. We submit to that plan, and we cling to the promise. So tonight, last week we had a time of prayer, and tonight we're going to do the same thing. There's going to be two parts to it, one reflecting each part of what we talked about tonight. So the form of submission, the posture of faith, posture of submission, posture of faith. The first one, we're just going to be silent in our own, confessing sins to God, and that's normal. I think we do that in services every now and then, and it's a good practice. And that's very private. And if there's always time to confess sins to a person if that's necessary and that's helpful, but ultimately before God is what is required. So we're going to submit to his will. We're going to confess to him. We are weak. Whatever ways you can think of in your that you need to talk to him about. And then the second part is someone else is going to pray for you. So you're not praying for yourself. You are praying for whoever you're praying with. And all you're doing is asking that their faith be strengthened in the promise of God. Right? That you would bless in that way. That they would trust Christ more and more and cling to the plan of salvation in the midst of all that. Just forgiven them of their sins. So that's the model of prayer we're doing this week. So every week we're doing something a little bit different. And so I will allow maybe a short time of silence, and then I'll cut that off and I'll ask to get into groups, and then you can pray for one another. All right? And then I will close with a closing prayer after that, and then I will pray a blessing over all of you. All right? So I'll kind of do that. All right, so for now, we'll take a short amount of time to confess our sins before God, taking that posture of submission before Him. All right. However many you can, you all could join in a big circle, I guess, too. But be sure to pray for one another, that your faith would be strengthened, that the posture of faith would be strengthened, and then do that for one another. All right, we'll take a few minutes for that too. Let's all close in prayer. I'll pray for all of you. Dear Lord, we thank you for coming to this earth and giving us a form to use to cry out to you. As you went to the garden and kneeled before your Father, Lord, we ask that we would do the same, that we would kneel before you in our hearts, but that we would also move on towards grasping your promises. I ask you to bless the people here at St. John's, continue to give them hope in your word and strengthen their faith. Be with them as they are looking for a pastor. Give them wisdom as they pursue that. We know that it's important to have a shepherd of your people. Lord, we pray for Marilyn as she is recovering from knee surgery. We're glad for physicians and those who work to heal us. We know that all healing is from you, so we give you thanks for that. Help her now to cling to your promises during this trial of hers as she is recovering. Lord, as Jeremiah trusted in your steadfast love, help us to know that your steadfast love will see us through our afflictions, and that one day we will see you when you return to bring us into glory. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. All right, and now I'll ask for the ushers to come forward. We can serve God with our gifts and our tithes. Let's have a time of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that have been given. We know that these gifts are yours. Help what has been contributed be for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, we're thankful for the greater gifts that you have given, including life and salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Continue to prepare our hearts during this Lenten season to prepare to celebrate your resurrection, but also during this time to know who we are, even in times of sorrow and suffering. Help us to submit to your will during that time, knowing, being encouraged what comes afterwards, and that is your love, your grace, and mercy. And we know that even your love is given to us right now through your people, through your word. Strengthen us in that. And now we pray the prayer our Lord himself taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Now Go in peace and serve the Lord.